introducing Brother Suhail Mulla. Sheikh Suhail Mulla is the director of the Los Angeles branch of the Khalil Center, a community spiritual psychological wellness center. Sheikh Suhail currently serves as a resident scholar at the Islamic Society of West Valley in Canoga Park, California. He also serves as EOK, Muslim chaplain at both UCLA and CSUN. In addition, Sheikh Suhail serves as a religious advisor in UMMA Council and Clinic, and he is the co-founder of the Muslim Marriage Divination Retreat. Sheikh Suhail has worked as a social worker in LA, USD, and Sahil Marj Benayn Court has served as an imam at the Islamic Society of Orange County and as interim executive director and director of the Mental Health and Access California Services. MashaAllah, there is huge achievements of both speakers. So with no further ado, I will be letting the two speakers speak, inshallah.
السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Inshallah, it's a pleasure to be here with you on this lovely morning, the last day of the convention, and we're here to talk about a subject that maybe some of you are living right now, and maybe some of for some of you it's on the horizon. Maybe for some of you, I'm looking at who's in the room. This is your parents that we're talking about, and you're, you know, thinking about them, or whatever it may be. But this is a reality that is important that we address in the community, and I'm glad, alhamdulillah, this space was given. You know, in Islam, we have these, we're always striving for the best. For ibadah, we're striving for ihsan. The Prophet ﷺ is asked by Sayyidina Jibreel, "Mal ihsan? An ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah, fa'in lam takun tarah, fa'innahu yarah." You know that ibadah, you're striving for the best, to be excellent in your worship with Allah, as if you can see Him, and if you can't see, you know that He sees you. As for our work in everyday life, the Prophet ﷺ says, "Inna Allah yuhibbu idha amila ahadukum amalan an yutqina." That in our daily work, we're striving for itqan, perfection, to do the best that we can do. In marriage, there's a criteria that the Prophet ﷺ, he gives us as far as what we're striving for. خيركم خيركم لأهلي وأنا خيركم لأهلي. The best of you are those that are best to their spouses. So khayriya, this, you know, this concept of being the best we can be in marriage means that you treat your spouse the best that you can treat them, right? And the Prophet ﷺ is that best example. So that applies at every stage of life. It's not just about that love that's there initially in your marriage, where the romance is high and you fall in love, and then, you know, and then, well, that was a thing of the past, and that doesn't apply to us anymore, right? I saw somewhere recently, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, that Allah has placed between you love and mercy. And I saw somewhere recently, it said, well, that love is for the beginning of the marriage, but then mercy needs to kick in to help you sustain the long road. Absolutely, that's true, but that doesn't mean love is gone. That doesn't mean you put love in the backseat and khalas, it's, you know, that's a thing of the past. It's something that's ever present. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Lam nara lil mutahabbaini mithla nikah." We haven't seen for two people, that love each other. You know, in Islam we have these different constructs of love. Two people who love each other for the sake of Allah and all of these things. He said the best form of love is that love that exists in marriage, because that love is at its fullest, has the ability to develop in a way that love can in no other area of life, right? So, empty nest and the empty nest syndrome. What is it? And let's talk about it. I want to share with you a couple of stats as it relates to this particular reality. I learned a new term, actually, subhanAllah, that I've actually witnessed with my eyes, but I didn't have words for it. But now, unfortunately, I see on a fairly frequent basis in the community. Something is called gray divorce. Anybody heard of this term? Gray divorce, right? I think you know what that means, right? The beard is gray, the hair is gray, and now we are seeing divorce for people at that stage of life, right? People over the AARP, they define that as for anybody over the age of 50 who experiences divorce, this is what they consider gray divorce. And the numbers for that are way up. In the numbers for divorce generally in the community in America, about 1 in 3 or 2 in 5, 33-40%, and they're saying those numbers are even increasing as we speak. In the Muslim community, actually perhaps in the general American population, about 1 in 2. Mm-hmm. In the Muslim community, about 1 in 3. Let's just give you some round numbers, right? What's happening as people are getting older, commitment is not what it used to be in the old days. And so they're saying the divorce rate for couples over the age of 50, including empty nesters, which we'll define in a moment, has doubled over the course of the past generation. It's double than what it used to be. And the divorce rate for people over 64 years of age tripled during that same period of time. SubhanAllah, imagine, happily ever after. But now people at the age of 65, divorce has tripled in number from what it used to be. And we're seeing that in the Muslim community. These are the general statistics that we find, but of course there's an overlay of that in the community. So talking about this concept of the empty nest syndrome, what is it? What does it mean? What does it look like? How does it play out? What are the challenges there? And then what are the solutions is what we'll be talking about. So number one, empty nest syndrome, of course, is a reference to the fact that when your little fledglings have left the nest, right, your children have left home, you spent 20, 25, maybe 30 years, maybe 18 for some people, their children leave quick out of college, and you've spent all of that time raising the children, all of those years investing them, pouring your heart and soul into them, husband and wife both, and now your children are gone, right? They're no longer in the house. And now it's just the two of you. And that energy that you had, well, you have to pour that energy in somewhere else now, right? And so that reality brings a lot of difficulty into many people's lives and many households. It's a point of grief. It's on the spectrum of grief. Grief it has to do with many things: losing a loved one, losing a career, losing a dear family member, etc. Losing your ability to be an active parent, right? Losing that authority is not the right word, but losing that role, that parental role, right, that you had and that you held so dear to your heart in terms of raising your children, giving them tarbiyah, raising them to be righteous Muslim children. That was your focus. Your whole life was primed for that, and now you don't have that. You don't own it in the same fashion, right? And so that's what this is about. So the empty nest syndrome for some people, they say 1 out of 10, becomes a manifestation that weighs on a person to the extent that it can transform into depression and have a very sort of debilitating effect, incapacitating effect in people's lives, because now that's all gone from their life. So to that extent, it affects people. Now, they say generally that the process of the empty nest syndrome has kind of three stages. First, there's grief, then there's relief, and then there's joy. And ideally, we want to get to that point of joy. There's grief that the children left home. You don't have that tight connection. They're no longer there in your presence. And then there's relief for the fact that, well, wait a second, man, I don't have to wake up at 6:30 in the morning to get their lunches ready and to get them, you know, all prepped, and I don't have to, there's no, I don't have to go anywhere at 3 p.m. There's no activities I have to shuttle them around to. And
so I'm talking about my life right now, by the way. Yeah. I'm sorry, don't leave me hanging, bro.
Oh, so, and this is right, this is important, right? The empty nest syndrome plays out much heavier in women because of exactly what Lubna just said, right? I'm speaking about things that apply to her, that don't apply to me as much. I have to take my responsibility, but I'm gonna be honest, she takes most of it, right? And so it does play out heavier in women because that the and subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ is so wise in his words, right? When he's asked, who has the most, rights over me, Ya Rasulullah? My suhbah, who deserves most of my time, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet ﷺ says, Ummuk, your mother. So that connection is very clear, and when that connection is shifted, right? Now their children are not in your actual presence at home, well, that disconnection for the mother plays out much, much heavier, right? So grief, relief, and then joy. Joy is about, well, wait a second, man, I can go travel the world. I can enjoy my spouse the way I did in our first 1, 2, 3, 4 years of marriage when we didn't have children and we were free birds and we were able to do whatever we wanted. There was no restrictions. I didn't have to worry about waking up. I didn't have to worry about, oh, well, wait a second, we have to be back at such and such time. I'm going to be very bold here, right? There's nobody else in the house. Like, my bedroom is here and my children's bedroom is here, but nobody's there in the bedroom. We can do whatever we want to do, right? That life, so getting to that point of joy is where we're striving to get. And capturing that love, as we mentioned at the beginning, لَمْ نَرَى لِلْمُتَحَابَيْنِ مِثْلَ النِّكَاحِ, that enjoying love at every stage of life, and not just it being something of the past, you know, for two people at that stage of life to really be connected in that way is a beautiful sight. It's a beautiful sight to see. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to see that beauty, that spark of love ever present in all of the lives of our elders and our seniors in the community. Now my wife is giving me time limits.
Hey, we have to share, you know.
So, so as we said, mothers take that heavier load. Now, in terms of even the perspective that is there as far as children leaving the home, right? There's sometimes different perspectives. The mother is maybe heartbroken, but me as a father, alhamdulillah, you know, we can be free. And so that in and of itself, the two different attitudes as to how we display, if we don't align there, that can create a tremendous amount of tension in the home. You know, you're never as necessary and relevant in life when you're raising your children. And when that's gone, it's such a big manifest shift. And so the changes manifest in so many different ways, right? What happens? These changes manifest especially heavy in people who have difficulty dealing with change. If you had difficulty when you brought your child into this world, if you had difficulty leaving your parents' home originally, well, this shift in life also weighs heavily on you. So that's something to kind of pay attention to. Now, there's all these other new challenges that develop, right? You have to kind of renegotiate your relationship with your children. Now they're out of the home. Well, what does that look like? Does that mean I'm going to talk to them once or twice a day? Does that mean I'm going to talk to them once a week? Are they going to visit us? Are we going to visit them? There's tension around that, right? Or there's things to negotiate around that. Now we have to reformulate our relationship. What are we going to do? What is our daily routine going to look like? How much are we going to connect? Are we going to date again, right? Are we going to have that active relationship with one another again? There is sometimes, you know, long-standing communication challenges that we've just brushed to the side and never dealt with. Why? Because we were busy with the children. And now we have no choice but to face head-on those gaps that were there in our relationship. And they have to be rectified, because if they're not, we will live a life that's miserable. Right? If we don't fix certain aspects of the relationship that were broken, well, there will be a long-term consequence. And who wants to live that life? Who wants to live that life of constant pain and stress and argumentation and so on? So there's so many different concepts that come into play, so many different things that need to be reassessed in our marital relationship when we hit that stage of life.
You're fine.
I don't want to take up.
We're just waiting for another mic, so keep going. You're good.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
Enjoy.
No, well, you got me all. You told me to. I got to stop in a couple minutes. I prepped for that, and now you're telling me keep going. Let's. We're gonna put on a little show for you, right? As to a conversation that may be taking place in some of your lives. We'll do a little role play for you to kind of embody, what this looks like in a negative way, and then how we want to engage in this space in a positive day.
I guess we have to share a mic.
Oh, so
that's what we were negotiating. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I wasn't trying to be annoying.
So we're gonna do, so, you know, this is fictional, right?
Yes.
But for some of you, it may not be. Our son, in this fictional role play, has left the home, as well as the other kids. All right, so this is an exercise as to how not to engage in this space, right? In this emptiness space. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, love, can you believe what our son Ahmed did? And remember, we don't have a son named Ahmed. Okay. Can you believe what he did? Oh, I forgot that. I have to give it back to you.
No, what did he do?
Can you believe it? He called me while I was at work. He said it was super urgent, that he needed my advice desperately. So I left a very important meeting. And then later I found out he didn't even take my advice. Can you believe that?
Well, I told you before that you shouldn't baby Ahmed. Like, he's gone out of the house. Just let him grow up. Let him be a man. And set your boundaries. And why did you leave your meeting anyways? Why do you always have to engage him like that?
Okay, forget it, man. That's not the point. The point is I spent all that time away from my meeting to hear him out and give him advice. And at the end of the day, he and his wife did the very exact thing that I told them.
Yeah, but if you didn't cater to his every need, you know, baby him like you did his whole life, none of this would have ever happened.
Well, maybe if you were there more, then you would have. I would not have babied him.
Ahmed is a married man. Why do you care so much anyway?
You know what? Forget it, man. You don't even care about me or your son anyways. Why are you even bothered?
You calling me selfish?
Oh yeah, I forgot. And you're selfish too. I forgot.
You write the script and you don't even read it. You're calling me selfish? What are you talking about? And besides, how many times have I told you it's time to move on? Let the kids be. They're grown up now.
Man, you're so insensitive. I can't believe it.
You're always criticizing, man. I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to help you do the right thing.
Okay, well, that's a help. I don't want it. Thank you very much.
Okay. So that's what you don't want to do as empty nester, right?
I'm going to lunch.
I don't know why you're clapping.
We put ourselves out there. I think they appreciate the vulnerability, you know.
So this is how you want to engage. Right?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. I saw I closed it. 1 second.
You can read from home.
Yeah, no. Okay. Okay, how to. Hey love, can you believe what our son Ahmed did?
No, what did he do?
He called me while I was at work. He said it was so important and he needed my advice. So I left a very important meeting to talk to him. And then later I found out he didn't even take my advice. Can you believe that?
Oh, that sounds really tough.
Yeah, and you know the worst part of it all?
Tell me.
Even after I warned him about the consequences of the idea that he and his wife had, they did the exact opposite of what I advised them to do.
That must have been frustrating. I can't believe that.
I know, right?
Yeah, I'm always here to listen to you, you know? I know it's hard. I know it's hard when our kids make decisions, but they don't sit well with us.
Yeah, thank you, exactly. I feel like you really get it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I always get it.
Alhamdulillah. Oh, man. Okay, alhamdulillah. So, you know, that was an example of what the right way and the wrong way of really active listening. And like Suhail mentioned, you know, subhanAllah, there's syndrome aspect of it where people, you know, 1 in 10, like Suhail mentioned, and it's really difficult for mothers to let go. That's one aspect, but there's still the environment in the home that tends to happen when kids do leave the nest and there's the empty nest syndrome, right? It's basically what Suhail mentioned, that how do you as husband and wife reinvent the wheel? I think it's important for us to remember in general, with and without kids, before and after and in the middle, all that good stuff. You have to remember that we have to remind ourselves, subhanAllah, me included, that marriage is not a set and forget. It's not like the crock pot, you know, they say set and forget, just put on the stove and leave it for 7 hours like Nahari. No, it's something that you have to nurture. It's a garden that you have to fertilize and you have to water it. You have to prune the, you know, prune the leaves. You have to pick out the weeds, right? It's something that needs constant work. And I think that's something that we can't forget in any stage of our life. There's an early courting stage right before marriage. And then there's the early years before kids. Then there's a big change when their kids come. So you're constantly reinventing your relationship. Also realizing, and then of course all the stages that we mentioned, also realizing that us as human beings in general, you know, you're two separate human beings going on your trajectory of life, spiritually, career-wise, you know, intellectually, physically, your body changes. So human beings, our wants, our desires, our tastes, our interests, they change every 7 or 8 years or so. So us being in tune with one another, that's super important. And one of the key elements of making a marriage beautiful in all stages of life is really communication. Communication, appreciation, showing gratitude for one another. You know, when we do slip, and we're always going to slip because we're human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that mercy, so we need to be merciful and forgiving between each other, is learning how to kind of readjust the conversation. So I make a mistake and learning how to take something back. You know what, sorry, I didn't mean to call you insensitive. I was just really hurt that Ahmed didn't take our advice, for example. You know, those are called repair attempts. There's many different ways, styles of communication that we have to understand that will help a relationship flourish. One of them, like I mentioned, is active listening. When I was telling Suhail my problem, I don't want him to fix it. Unless I tell him, Suhail, I really want your advice. That's different, but really active listening is, whether this is with your children, with people that you manage at work, with your spouse, with your parents, most of the time when people want to share something, they just want to kind of offload. They want to reduce some of their stress by sharing their frustration. They don't want you usually in the moment to say, you know what, well, you should have done that. Why'd you do that? That was so dumb. Right, active listening is just kind of hearing and listening, and that's all I wanted from Suhail. And then that role play, that was the example. So I talked about communication, kind of active listening, making sure that when we express our needs, we express it in a way that's talking about what we want and not what we don't want. I shouldn't just come and jump at Suhail and say, well, how come you never spend time with me, or how come you never do this, or what's wrong with you? Instead, I say, I would like for us to go out. I would like for us to spend more time together. Hey, I would like it if you listen to me for a moment. I'm telling you about my problem with Ahmed. I just want you to hear me out, right? I don't need to jump on him and attack him and vice versa. Showing gratitude for one another. You know, sometimes we got so caught up in all of those years of child rearing, we forget to thank one another for the things that you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to go to work and bring home the money, or you're supposed to be doing this for the kids, or you're supposed to be, you know, doing this. But thanking one another, truly showing that appreciation, is a beautiful way of boosting each other's emotional bank account. Think of every single interaction that you have with your spouse, and you can keep me in time check too, 1 o'clock. Think of every single interaction with your spouse, every single one that you're either depositing in their emotional bank account or you're depleting, moment by moment, their emotional bank account. So every time I'm criticizing or I'm attacking or I'm neglecting, maybe Suhail wanted to tell me something. So I don't have time for that right now. I just run away. I'm depleting that emotional bank account. But every time I say thank you, every time I kind of reach out, he reached out, he wanted me to listen to something, I listen. I heard him out. Even if it's something maybe, let's just say, Suhail's not into sports, but let's just say Suhail wanted to share like a sports score with me. That's not the case. But, and I listen. It's like, oh really? And he goes, hey, I can't believe the last part of the game was such and such. It's something that he cares about and I listened. That again is putting a little deposit in the emotional bank account. If I tell Suhail, let's go to the farmer's market, which he would love to go to, let's say he did it. And he's like, okay, you wanna go, let's go. He did that because that was going to put a boost in my emotional bank account and vice versa. So looking at our relationship in general, but in particular, as you prepare for those years of empty nest, working on it from now is a beautiful, beautiful act that you can do. Something that you need to be doing anyway, but something in preparation so that when life throws you a curve and things change, as it will change, you are prepared for it and you've already built a solid foundation. So I invite those that are not necessarily in that situation to think ahead and kind of say, hey, wait a minute. What are we doing to kind of reinvest in our relationship? Ask yourself that question now so that you're not caught off guard later. And if you're in that situation and you felt we've had some, you know, we had a bumpy road a little bit, let's redirect, let's reconnect. I think that's something that's really important. Just a couple of quick tips before we open up with the Q&A and also one more role play, inshallah. Some people, what they do when they find themselves kind of, life has changed, what they'll do is they'll throw themselves more into work. So that's good for you, the person who's enjoying the work, and that's their way of kind of directing their energy, a little bit of their loneliness. You know what, let me just put it into something that I love. But are you reinvesting in your spouse? So you guys have to communicate. What's our plan? Think ahead. You know, what do we want to do? What are some of our goals? Share a hobby together. If you have a temporary like project or something that you're working on that's going to take some more time, fine. But don't let that be your long-term solution of coping with sadness or coping with change. Let me just throw 15 hours into work and neglect my spouse, right? It's something that needs communication. Bottom line, communication, planning, and really being sensitive and empathetic to the other person's needs. And like, instead of feeling, you know, this is not my responsibility to worry about my spouse, it's what can I do to make my spouse's life better? And hopefully my spouse is thinking the same way. What can I do to make things better? It's not an obligation, but something out of love and mercy, inshallah, the way we're looking at it. Bidnillahi ta'ala.
Yeah. Let me say something.
Yeah, please. Shift. Yeah.
And just to add a point, and then we're gonna do another role play for you. You know, we know our spouse's strengths and we know our spouse's weaknesses, right? And sometimes what happens is as the relationship is declining in the connection that we have, those blameworthy traits that we see in our spouse, those things that annoy us, those things that we don't like, and those things that may not be good traits of theirs, they become more prominent.
Mm-hmm.
Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave us very clear direction in terms of how to engage. He told us, "La yafraq mu'minun mu'minatan," that a believing man, a husband, should not despise, should not hate, should not look at that aspect of his wife. In kariha minha khuluqan radiya minha akhar. That there are certain things that naturally you will not like about your spouse. Your lives are very deeply intertwined. The level of intimacy that husband and wife share is like no other relationship. So it's natural that there are gonna be things that you're gonna be exposed to that you don't like. Put those aside. You don't shine the light on those. Shine the light on what's good.
Yes.
Right? And so this concept of, there's a nice saying, they say that marriage is not about getting what you want. It's about wanting what you get. I wish my wife was this, this, and this, and this. You can dream all you want. She is who she is.
Hey, slow down, bro.
She is who she is.
What are you saying?
She is who she is. And I have to want that. I have to be invested in the parts of her that I love, that I like, that, you know, appeal to me. And that's where we connect, right? So there's a lot of reframing, and of course, vice versa. There's a lot of reframing that we also want to look at, and you know, kind of to our perspectives have to mature and have to develop if we're going to grow together. I talked about earlier, you know, divorce rates as the generations get older and as those are increasing. But it's not just about the divorce rate; it's about growing old happy, right? Growing old together. And we are happy with one another, we're smiling at each other until the last moment, right? It's not just about simply caring for each other's needs. That's part of it. Our lives become so intertwined that I need her, she needs me to function, to navigate life. She needs me to, you know, for certain aspects of life, and I need her. We become dependent upon each other. There's interdependency. That's part of the relationship, but it needs to be premised on love. And then the mercy part comes in terms of navigating those parts that are, you know, that are challenging in the relationship. So we're gonna do one more role play?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't mess it up this time. Okay.
I'll open up the text again. Yeah. And then remember you're looking at your phone, scrolling.
Actively. All right.
Okay. 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 Hey, you're still looking at your phone, man? You've been staring at that thing for 30 minutes now.
What's the big deal, man? I'm just relaxing here. Why are you barging in here and yelling at me all of a sudden?
You haven't even noticed me all evening. You're always glued to that dumb phone like an old uncle looking at WhatsApp all day.
Calm down, man. Stop nagging me.
Well, I wouldn't nag you if you would just pay attention to me.
I've had a long day. I'm at work all day. I just want to relax. Why are you always on my case?
Oh, really? You've had a long day? What about me? I go to work, and then I would like to relax, too, after driving the kids all day and cooking and cleaning up after your mess.
My mess? What are you talking about? You're the one who have all your hijabs all over the room. I can't even find my stuff.
Well, something's really hit home, you know? Well, maybe if you helped out more, I would have time to put my stuff away.
Oh, so now you're blaming me, huh?
Yes.
I'm always on the phone. I'm not helping enough. Blah, 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 blah. Man, that's all I hear from you.
You know what? That really hurts. I just wanted to spend time with me, and now all you do is criticize me? Sorry. Oh, wait. What did I just do? I just read your problem. Okay, sorry. You know what? That really hurts. I just wanted to spend time with you, and now you're making fun of me.
Well, how am I supposed to know what that you want to spend time with me if all you do is criticize me?
I wasn't criticizing you. I just want you to get off your dumb phone.
Okay, so I'm off my phone now. Happy?
No, I'm not happy. Forget it. I'm going to sleep.
Good. Again, you guys are clapping. All right. So this is what a positive interaction looks like. But that's still real, right? Yeah. There are still these frustrations. But how do you?
You want to just kind of tell them to kind of be aware of how they're correcting, like to auto-correct when you mess up.
Yeah, and pay attention to some of the auto-correct that is going on in the conversation, shall we?
Okay. You're still on your phone? Man, you've been staring at that thing for 30 minutes now.
What's the big deal, man? Why are you barging in here and yelling at me all of a sudden?
But you haven't even noticed me all evening. You're always glued to that dumb phone of yours like an old uncle looking at WhatsApp all day.
Calm down. Stop nagging me, woman.
I wouldn't nag if you would just pay attention to me. Besides, I really feel hurt when you use that word nag.
Okay, look, I'm sorry for saying that you were nagging me. I don't know why you come in here yelling at me all of a sudden.
Okay. I admit I did come in here pretty upset. Let me start over. I'd like for you to stop looking at your phone at night so we can spend some time together.
Sure, I would love that. And I like when you say it that way, but sometimes, you know, I'm just overwhelmed from work and I need some time to just decompress, and then I'm just catching up on my messages and reading articles, and there's a lot going on in the world, and that's just my way of relaxing.
Okay, I mean, that's fair, but I feel lonely, you know, when I walk in and out of the room a few times and you don't even look up once. When the kids are asleep, I feel like this would be a nice time for us to catch up and spend some time with each other.
Okay, I can see how staring at my phone when you come in the room would make you feel bad, so I'm sorry.
And you still do it, by the way. Okay, you know, no, that was just part of the script. Okay, and I'm sure my yelling at you to get off your phone is not the best way to get your attention.
That's true. You know what, I just need about 20 minutes after the kids go to sleep and then I'll be ready for you.
Okay, that's fair. But what if you're so glued to your phone that you don't even realize how much time has passed?
Just tell me time's up and I'm happy to sit with you.
Okay, that sounds like a deal. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Okay,
so I think we wanted to give you all a little bit of time. You know, we wanted to display some of that. This is kind of natural to us. I'm gonna make a plug here. We do something that's called the Muslim Marriage Rejuvenation Retreat. We've done, I don't know, about maybe 10 or so of them. over the last 3 years. And we do them sometimes at, you know, conferences, at masjids, and at special, like, guest getaway destinations. And we take couples either on a whole weekend, a full 2 days, sometimes 3 days, sometimes a whole week, and work through all of these different skills. We just kind of gave you a very tight summary of all of that today. And there's so much more. And so for those people that, you know, want to put ihsan into their marriage, that want to make their marriage the best that it can be, whether or not you're doing well or not in your marriage, right? We're always trying to be better. And so just something that for people to be aware, we've tailored it obviously for Muslims. And of course it's based on the research as it relates to marriage, and then it's based on, of course, the Quran and Sunnah in terms of how we approach a marriage. So please check that out. Our website is called signsofthedivine.com. signsofthedivine.com. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. And from his signs, Allah's signs that he created husband and wife for each other, signs of the divine. And it's called the Muslim Marriage Rejuvenation Retreat. So we want to open up for questions. If anybody has questions in terms of, you know, your whatever, in terms of any specific realities that you wanted to kind of explore. Yeah, so the question was, what should the children do? What is the children's role in their parents' lives when they see their parents moving towards living in an empty nest situation, right? Or that is the current reality, right? What can the children do to help promote and foster love between mom and dad? That's a really good question, right? And I think it's important for the children to look at their parents with an eye of mercy. A lot of times, unfortunately, what we see in the community a lot is the parents have gotten so turned off from just if there's a critical sort of relationship between husband and wife, where they're just always on each other's case, they're always fighting, or the other opposite end is where they've completely just distanced each other from, they've distanced themselves from each other, right? They don't communicate. Those are kind of the two extremes. They're going at it, it's fight or flight. And the children can be a bridge to not be partial to either mom or dad, right? To gently remind mom, dad, we want to see you grow old together and the two of you are happy. Mom, dad.
Go on vacation.
Let's support you. We're going to send you off to Hawaii. We're going to send you off to, you know, somewhere to go have a good time.
Yeah.
I'm hoping my children send me to Hawaii. I always tell my children, one of you guys become a millionaire, this is what I want. 1, 2, 3. So, supporting them, being there in a supportive role, and then you don't want to get into a situation where you're becoming their counselor or therapist or mediator. It's not a healthy situation. That's not going to go right. So suggest to your parents, if this relationship is in a really, you know, not in a really negative space, if they need some work and they're willing to work, and you should push them to work on their relationship, to get therapy, to go to a marital therapist, to seek that extra level of professional help. That can be absolutely, you know, sometimes there's just some small buttons that need to be pressed for the relationship to reset. Sometimes the problems are much deeper seated than that, but for them to get into a space where they can actively, you know, work to figure out to make the relationship better. And the children, you can sponsor their therapy for them. Like, so, you know, sometimes what happens is, and I see this, the man says, what are you talking about, $150 an hour? Forget this, right? We'll just figure it out. And there's nothing happens. So pay for your parents. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of different things that you can do to kind of, to help push them along in the right direction. Okay, mashallah. Good audience, you know everything. Alhamdulillah. No, I'm just kidding.
Sister.
Yes, sister.
Curious about each other, and then when you aren't curious, how do you not
I think you framed it, Zach Mokhirin, I think you framed it in such a lovely way. That in and of itself, I think is great advice. Stay curious about each other. And that really, if you take that as a model, that can apply for everything. If Sohail is maybe, you know, maybe he's quiet and there's something going on, instead of me assuming why I think he is, hey, I noticed that you've been quiet lately, you know, what's going on? If he's ready to open up, great, not great. You know, wanting to find out about what each other is doing at work. Some people don't like talking about it, some people do. So, you know, giving that space for what that curiosity can look like in each spouse, but I think that's a wonderful reminder in general that if you're always trying to, you know, one of the studies, or, you know, one of the, I would say scholars of marriage, you know, Dr. John Gottman, that's really, he talks about that you constantly need to kind of build the, what is it? Your love maps. I should know what Sohail likes, what are his interests are, and that's always gonna be changing. So have those conversations, go out on a date. How do I know what Sohail's gonna like if I don't like, if we don't put ourselves in that situation that's relaxing? Hey, let's go in the patio and let's have some tea. You know, making that time, it doesn't have to be something extravagant, it doesn't have to be Hawaii, but make the time where you're able to connect. I think we've felt it in the past, whenever we're so busy with each other's, with our schedule, collective family schedule, there's not even time to ask that, we notice there's more friction. And when we make that simple time to allow for the curiosity to even come up, it makes things so much better and it doesn't take a lot. Well, like 15 minutes, quantity, what is it? Quality over quantity. So I think just keeping that as a model and then creating the time for that curiosity to come out can really be helpful in everything, in active listening and building the relationship and, you know, building the knowledge of one another can really make for a beautiful friendship. And that's something that I think a lot of times we forget, that really happy marriages should be built on friendship. You guys are coming together as friends. And if you didn't see each other that way, inshallah, that can be a re-envisioning of your guys' relationship, inshallah.
Friendship was the basis, was the core at the relationships of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His friendship with Sayyidah Khadija was so deep that for years after, Sayyidah Aisha was jealous of that friendship that he had, that connection. The relationship of the Prophet ﷺ with Sayyidah Aisha was premised on friendship. When she's, when the Prophet ﷺ is asked, who do you love most, Ya Rasulullah? He says, Aisha. And the person wanted to know from, that's not what I mean, Ya Rasulullah, min al-rijal, from the men. And then he says, Abuha, her father, she was the core of his life, right? And so the Prophet ﷺ, so that you know, that connection, you can't have love without friendship. You cannot have love in marriage without friendship. And so ideally husband and wife are best friends. And if there's challenges there, well, then those challenges need to be kind of worked through. I think we're out of time. I'm gonna share this one last shameless plug. Lubna hates this, but next year we're taking a group to the Maldives Islands. So if anybody's interested, look at the website, signsofthedivine.com. We have different retreats in different places. Of course, the goal is to help reconnect people, to build their relationship, to be the best that it can be, so that you can grow old in your later years of life and be happy with one another, supporting each other throughout that life journey. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of the couples here happiness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you love and mercy for the rest of your days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to be the best role models that we can be for our children, so that our children continue in that beautiful way in which our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us as an inheritance, right? Love and mercy to carry between husband and wife always. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.
And one more dua for our singles that are looking for that Mr. or Mrs. Right, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all righteous spouses and dhurriya salihah, those who haven't had children yet, righteous offspring, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. Jazakallah khairan.
You know, there's another plug you can use.
Okay.